Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at what we feel is quite a fascinating book titled The Next Mormons, How Millennials Are Changing the LDS Church. It was written by Jana Reese. It came out in the spring of 2019. And as we've explained earlier, the reason why we're taking so much time to go through this book is because the statistics, I think, will help us if we are serious about evangelizing our LDS friends, because the age group tends to tell you where they may fall regarding certain beliefs or how much emphasis they put on certain beliefs. And this helps if we're going to have an effective conversation. But I think it all goes back to this too, Eric, because even with these statistics, it doesn't tell you exactly how the Mormon you might be talking to thinks on that issue. And this goes back to why we have always said, ask questions. Don't assume. This is a good guide, which she gives us here in this book, but we shouldn't assume that a certain person in a particular age group in the Mormon church is believing a certain way, because they may not be. So asking questions is very important. Yesterday, we ended the show talking about some of the things that Mormons thought were morally wrong. And kind of surprising when we were talking about issues like abortion, 65% of millennials think that abortion is wrong. 79% of millennials thought that having an adulterous affair were wrong. And but today we want to look at other issues such as in vitro fertilization. Very quickly, I want to go through some of the points in this chart that she lists. When it comes to the silent and boomers, that would be the older members of the LDS church, 15% felt that in vitro fertilization was wrong, whereas 33% of millennials thought that that was wrong. Does that kind of surprise you a little bit?
Well, the millennials seem to be more judgmental. In fact, this is what Jana Reese says. Mormon millennials proved to be the least accepting of any generation concerning in vitro fertilization and the other things we're talking about.
I've heard millennials say that about millennials, so that's probably a good call on her part.
And by the way, you can see the statistics on our website, mrm.org/thenextmormons, with hyphens between those words. But wearing fur, silent boomers, 17% think it's wrong. Gen X, 27%, well, double with the millennials, 45%, almost half of all millennials think it's wrong to wear fur, and that's politically correct in the age that we live in.
Yeah, and then you have stem cell research, and this is where I was a little bothered by the way she has this, because she doesn't seem to really define whether this is talking about embryonic stem cell research or adult stem cell research, because definitely as a Christian, I am very much against embryonic stem cell research, but as a Christian, I'm not against adult stem cell research, but she doesn't seem to qualify it. But 47% of millennials said that they were against stem cell research, but yet they're moving more in a Democrat direction, and of course, the Democratic Party has a very strong pro-abortion platform. I would wonder if they do not see the inconsistency, perhaps, that is in those numbers. I don't know. And then when it comes to getting a divorce, 43% of millennials say that that's wrong. Now, you and I were discussing this, and it could very well be because millennials may have gone through a situation like that with their parents, and because of feeling the pain and the suffering that they take away from that kind of an event in their lives, that might be why that number is as high as it is.
And especially 43% compared to only 26% of silent boomers who thought getting a divorce was wrong, and 41% of Gen X thinking it's wrong. Millennials are the highest at 43%.
Now, when it comes to the death penalty, 46% of millennials are against the death penalty, whereas the boomer generation is, and the silent generation is more around 27%. I'm not totally surprised by that number. But now I want to get into this other area, and that is the source of authority. And this is where Jana Reese was surprised by the numbers that came back on this survey that she put out.
This is what she writes on page 193 under the section Competing Sources of Authority. She writes, "The next Mormon survey asked Mormon respondents to rank a dozen sources of authority on a scale of 1 to 5, based on which sources they consult most when making moral decisions. Given how essential the Council of LDS General Authorities is considered for Mormon life, I was expecting to see church leaders at the top of the list for Mormons in general, with some possible dilution of their importance in the lives of younger respondents. What the survey showed instead is that this kind of prophetic council ranked 5th overall on the list of 12 items after respondents' own conscience, promptings of the Spirit would be number 2, family advice number 3, scriptures number 4, and then number 5, LDS general authorities." Bill, that surprises me just as much as it surprises her.
I have to admit, I was shocked by that. Seeing them put in that order, they seem to place a very strong emphasis on their ability to make right decisions. Now, of course, biblically, we would be cautioned against that. But I want to read something from Ezertaf Benson, and we've talked about this before. It was taken from his 14 Fundamentals of Following the Prophet. And in that, he said, "The prophet and the presidency, the living prophet and the first presidency, follow them and be blessed, reject them and suffer." Now, that speech was originally given way back in 1980, before many of these younger people were even born. But it was re-emphasized in 2010 at an October General Conference when 270s got up, one of them by the name of Claudio Costa and the other one Kevin Duncan. They went through the 14 fundamentals that Ezertaf Benson taught about in 1980, and they re-emphasized the importance of those 14 fundamentals in the lives of modern Latter-day Saints. Now, you would think that if you follow the leadership and you're blessed, but you reject them, you'll suffer, that trusting in the LDS general authorities would have ranked higher than 5th among average members in the church.
Not only that, but she writes on page 194 that prophetic counsel is one of the several sources they consult when making moral decisions, but it is hardly the only one. In fact, half of the respondents didn't have LDS general authorities in the top 5. So while it did reach the 5th position, more than half of them didn't even put the general authorities in the top 5. That is putting them way below where they hope to be. They think they stand on a pedestal, but for many Latter-day Saints, they don't even put them ahead of their own conscious promptings from the Spirit. Their own personal feelings take precedent over what the leaders are saying.
So are you implying that a lot of those speakers that get up in general conference really are legends in their own mind? They're not obviously legends among the membership that they're trying to counsel through these speeches. Let me go on and quote Ezertaf Benson. This is taken from the teachings of Ezertaf Benson. This is page 334 and 335. "In a general conference of the church, President N. Eldon Tanner stated, 'A man said to me, you know, there are people in our state who believe in following the prophet in everything they think is right. But when it is something they think isn't right and it doesn't appeal to them, then that's different,' he said. 'Then they become their own prophet. They decide what the Lord wants and what the Lord doesn't want.' It sounds to me like your average Latter-day Saint falls into that category that Ezertaf Benson is recording here, and that is in his book, The Teachings of Ezertaf Benson."
How often do we hear the leaders tout their words as what they say at General Conference as something that is considered to be scripture even? Listen to what Richard L. Evans, who was an apostle back in 1940, he said this at a general conference, October 1940, page 61 of the conference reports. He said, "Besides this, we have our living prophet for whom I am grateful, and I hope to follow after him all the days of my life. I know that when I don't follow him, I am wrong, and I know that when I do, I am right, even if I don't agree with him. To those who only follow him when they do agree with him, he is not a prophet unto them." For Richard L. Evans, the prophet is the litmus test. Following the leaders is how you're going to know whether or not something is moral. But Latter-day Saints answering this question about how they get inspiration for to know what to do that's right and wrong, they're not getting it from the leaders. They're not even getting it, number one, from the scriptures. That's number four. But they're getting it from their own conscience, promptings of the Spirit. And catch this, number three, family members rate higher in understanding what they're supposed to do over the leadership and the scriptures themselves.
When you consider that it was only back in the March Ensign 2012, there was an article by Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Now, back then, he was a member of the First Presidency. Today, he serves as an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But there was this article in the March 2012 Ensign. On page 5, this is what Uchtdorf said. Listen to General Conference with an ear willing to hear the voice of God through his last.